24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
Welcome to Rethinking Mental Health with JC Mears on Bashani Radio out of New York City. Always talking about everything. We can be heard everywhere a podcast is played on iHeartRadio, iTunes, and Spotify, and many more. Hey guys, it's your girl JC Mears, mental health consultant, creative systemic therapist based in Barbados and out of New York. And today we have Mr. Michael Muse. And I'm so honored that Mr. Muse can join us because today we are talking about men, business, and mental health. And for those who are not aware, middle-aged men are the leading at-risk population for suicide and depression. However, they're probably the most unheard population when it comes to mental health. So I am so honored, Michael, Mike, Mr. Muse, for you joining me on the Rethinking Mental Health show. Can you please tell our listeners who you are, what you bring to the table before we get into this juicy topic of mental health and men?
JC Myers, thank you so much. You are a breath of fresh air on a topic and even subject matter that so many people run from. And I was just so glad to have the opportunity to share just my viewpoint and my journey when it comes to mental health. Yes. And so for me, I am a writer, I am an author, I'm a podcast producer and speaker who is looking to make sure I leave a legacy through writing, speaking, uplifting, encouraging, and helping people to eliminate any and all fears that they feel may be holding them down.
Wow. That's a lot. And with a lot means there's a lot of story.
Absolutely, yes.
Definitely. So can you take our listeners on a little journey? You know, what brought you to the point where you are comfortable having this conversation about mental health and wanting to change the world and create a legacy with people living their purposes?
Well, for me, it definitely started for me to really begin to take a look at where I was mentally at a point in time when initially I got a divorce. It was pretty much I lost everything.
Yeah.
Lost family, home, and everything. And so less than a year later from getting a divorce and having to start my life over again, I suffered a heart attack, a seizure, and kidney failure all at the same time. Not separately, but all at the same time. But let me, so you have to understand, at this point in time, I'm trying to rebuild. I'm not only working a job 40 hours a week. I was also running a business that took me from all through the metropolitan Detroit area, Lansing, Flint, and even Chicago, Illinois. Wow.
So you were an entrepreneur, but you were also an employee, and you were also a husband. Okay.
Yeah. At this point, I'm divorced.
Okay.
So at this point, I'm divorced, and so I'm a single dad, and so I am looking to really get understanding of where I need to go, what I need to do, and what is the why behind my actions? And so when this took place with those three, I call them the trifecta of greatness, because it crippled me for 7 years.
Wow.
So you got to understand, for those 7 years, I lost my job, home, anything and everything that helped me to be a man, feel like a man, it got stripped from me.
Can we pause for a second and you tell me who taught you what a man was supposed to be like, especially without the subject of mental health? Where do you think you learned that?
Watching my dad.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a chance to watch my dad be a loving husband, a loving father, and a man who will sacrifice himself, his life, to make sure his family had the best that he could with all that he had.
Yeah.
So I commend my dad.
Okay. All right. So tell us, so those 7 years, what were some of the most trying times for you, you think, in the 7 years? And how those times actually impact your mental health?
During that time, I was so broken down mentally. Where I had to get help.
Okay.
I had to go see, I had to get help.
Yeah.
Professional help. Because just from a relationship standpoint, I didn't trust women. And for coming off of a bad divorce, I truly believe that all women were evil.
Yeah.
And that any woman who come across my path, I'm going to bring destruction her way. I'm just being honest. It's just that's where I was at. And so I had to get to a place just on that aspect. Because the reality of it is I couldn't continue to live and allow that pain. And I could not allow that bitterness to consume me to the point where I become null and void. And that's the where that's the direction I was headed in.
Yeah.
Where I was totally unproductive and ineffective. Because I had an ill, negative mindset.
Yeah.
Towards women. And it even got to the point where I even looked at my mom like, hey, you're doing my dad wrong too.
Yeah. You started to place everybody in the same bucket.
Everybody's in the same bucket.
Yeah.
Hey, my mom didn't get a pass on that one.
Yeah.
Don't talk to my daddy that way.
Yeah. So in your defense, did you think that, as you were defending all men, because I always tell people when we think about a poor mental mindset for men, it's also attached with defending other men. Did you have support along this journey before you got help?
No.
Okay.
And the reason why I didn't, because I did, number one, most men do not have an outlet.
Yeah.
To be, number one, to be honest, to be vulnerable, and be willing to be coached to get the help and to get the right information. See, too often men are receiving the wrong, answers. And the big part of it comes from our society and the stereotypes that society places on us.
Yeah.
Just the society tells us that we just need to be strong at all times.
Yeah.
Society tells us that we're never supposed to cry. We're never supposed to feel down. That we were supposed to just stand up and stand tall at every given moment. But we are still, through it all, we're a spiritual being in a physical body that has emotions and all other things that go along with being human. And when we get to that place, most men, which we all do at some point, when we get to that place when we just block out our emotions, we block out our own feelings to hold on to a perception that's not even real.
Yeah.
That is that was the true danger zone that I saw.
Yeah. And what was your driving perception that kept you in a state of dis-ease or discomfort?
Say being in that state?
Yeah.
I'm going to say it was easy to be on that state without getting any help. Because it took the people who saw it first, they were empaths.
Okay.
They were truly able to feel my energy. and they're ready to see how I change going from being around men to being around women. Mm-hmm. And just being told that I put myself, that's not who I am. And for people who knew me to say, hey, why are you behaving and acting as well? This is not you. Mm-hmm. And that's when I realized, hold on, I need to get help.
That's when you realize you can't hide it anymore.
I can't hide it.
Yeah. It starts to seep out. That's I think I always tell people that's the beauty of mental health, is that if your body is not and your mind is not in tune, it will give you signs and other people will say to you, well, this looks this way to me. It's like when you get a cut, you see when you get a cut and everybody can see that you have a cut. Right?
Exactly.
So you went and got help. Do you think it was useful when you first began?
Oh, absolutely. It's when anyone can admit, especially a man can admit when he's weak, mm-hmm. when he feels mentally beaten down, when he feels spiritually exhausted, when he can admit that mm-hmm. and begin to say, I need to make some serious changes mm-hmm. in order to live a life of abundance. Mm-hmm. That's the same equivalent of a person who's using drugs and, hey, hold on, mm-hmm. Let me stop. Let me join a Narcotics Anonymous group mm-hmm. and get the help.
Yeah. So what were some of the things on your journey that you had to change and what were you changing them from?
The first thing I had to change was my view on women. Mm-hmm. After going through a bitter divorce and feeling betrayed from the adultery that took place, mm-hmm. getting that help, two, being physically broke down, mm-hmm. too sick to even do the things that I ordinarily used to be able to do. Mm-hmm. It's not because of the kidney disease and what I was going through, being on dialysis, I no longer carry groceries in the house.
Yeah.
All the things that normal men could do, I couldn't do. So I had to get help with that.
Yeah.
And that's at that point, that's when I really saw how important it was, how I could help other people. Mm-hmm. That's when I saw that, hey, I may not be able to physically move around, but I can still open my mouth. I can still share insight. Mm-hmm.
I'm curious though, when you were physically unable, do you think that also played a part in making your mental health become better or bitter?
Going through that, it got better.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because once I realized that I knew I was going down a dark path, mm-hmm. that unless I made the change, there was going to be no light at the end of the tunnel.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so knowing that I need to make that change, mm-hmm. that's what was going to be the calming decision of victory for me. Mm-hmm. That I had to get into a place where I could have freedom for me.
Okay.
And not be held captive by feelings, not be held captive by negativity, and not be held captive by my own insecurities.
Mm-hmm. What do you think in those 7 years were your lowest points?
The lowest point is when I made the decision I was going to stop taking my medication and stop going to dialysis so I could die. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And how did you interrupt that?
God put certain people, He placed certain people between the facility I was going to and a couple of friends who called and saw that I was sick. And they asked, did you go to Dallas? I said, no. And they intervened. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why it's so important that we have people around us who are able to encourage us, mm-hmm. uplift us, and be honest with us about where we're at. Mm-hmm.
What was the toughest part of accepting from them that you needed to do something different?
For me, it wasn't tough because I knew I wasn't doing what was right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, I was like that kid who he was being disobedient, being bad, and he went in the kitchen to grab some food and he was eating it. He knew he wasn't supposed to be eating it. And so then he turned around and get caught with it. That's the way I felt when I got caught.
He was just waiting for somebody to catch him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So walk us through a little bit to that, where you think that decision came, where you're going to say, you know what, this is it. I'm not going to take this medication. I'm going to shut myself out from the world. I'm not interested in trying to recover, because I don't think a lot of people realize when you are not well, and as you call it, the trifecta, when you're not well, you also have to make a decision to be well.
Absolutely.
Right. So walk us through that part where your mental health was kind of declining and you making those decisions of, well, I'm not going to take medication anymore.
It had declined. It started declining at the point when I was on dialysis for 6.5 hours.
Wow.
3 times a week. So just imagine, I'm in that dialysis chair for 6.5 hours, not including getting connected on and getting connected off. So we talk anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes to get connected on, and sometimes another 15, sometimes even longer getting off based on how much I was bleeding.
So
I pretty much, a lot of times I was actually doing a work shift right there at dialysis.
Wow.
And so going through that day in, day out, one thing about being on dialysis, dialysis is a beautiful thing to preserve the life when the kidney's not working. So let me be very clear on that. But the downside is each time a person goes to dialysis, when that machine is pulling that blood from your body and it's cleaning the toxics, when the new blood goes back in, a lot of times it's not going to be balanced right.
Yeah.
It's not going to have all the minerals and amino acids that it had when it left your body. When they clean it, they're not, a lot of times they're not there. So the body feels depleted. The body is tired. And mentally, it could be worn down at times.
Yeah.
And so for me, during that point where I was going for 6-7 months of just being broken down and being in a situation where I had gone to certain people. I even went to my sister and said, hey, can you get tested so I could possibly get a kidney from you? And when she said no, that was devastating. I'm like, I can't take no more of this.
Yeah.
And I was at that place where, hey, let me just stop going, lay on my bed and just, hey, just tell God to take me away. There's no more need for me.
Yeah. But he sure had a need, so he didn't listen.
That's right. And you know what, JC, I see so many people through me coaching people, and people who've even come to me from reading my book, too often people don't realize, don't even know that they are just one quick instance of a second or going to a place mentally that they didn't think they could ever go to.
Yeah. I have this saying that, you know, we're all one step away from just walking in the ocean and never coming back. You know? And it doesn't make us ill.
Yeah, not at all.
It just makes us human. Because there are a lot of things that we are all going through that we may not be able to share with others openly until it gets to a point where, you know what, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to need somebody else to help me through a particular process. You
know? Exactly.
All right. So, Mike, we are going to take a purposeful pause for the show, Rethinking Mental Health, and we'll come right back and hear more. I want to hear more about this book and how this book is starting to change lives and how it's changed your life as well, too.
Absolutely.
So welcome back to Rethinking Mental Health. And today we have Mr. Michael Mules. I almost want to say Dr. Michael Mules.
Hey, speaking into existence.
Being in existence. So after you made that decision that you were going to live, you wrote a book.
Yes.
And can you share with our readers the name of your book?
Name of the book is Rise and Burn.
That's right.
Break Free from the Root of Your Fears. Mm-hmm. It's a book for those who are sick and tired and not living the life they dream of because of fear. Because mm-hmm. too often people, you know, have to ask themselves, do they wonder why they never act on their big ideas? Mm-hmm. Do they ever wonder where their fear is coming from? And when they get ready to do something out of the ordinary, are they tired of living a life that's not matching the wonderful vision in their head? Are they tired of not being free of what's holding them back? So they've got to see what they need to cut or burn out of their lives so they can get rid of the wrong things. Will this book help them to discover the truth about who they really are? How they can become a fire that will ignite in them a burning away all the things that binds them and give their dreams a new life like the phoenix rising from the ashes.
So the burn is a passion.
Yes.
Yeah. And what was your passion to live?
At this point in time, mm-hmm. when I wrote Rise and Burn, I had just received a kidney transplant.
Mm-hmm. God is good.
But the flip side is 3.5 weeks after I had the kidney transplant, yeah, 3.5 weeks, my 16-year-old daughter was murdered.
Wow.
So here I am looking at, I'm still in pain mm-hmm. from the surgery because I'm unable to do any serious walking, mm-hmm. doing any serious moving around. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at, what am I supposed to be doing? Mm-hmm. And that's when I got deep into prayer. Mm-hmm. I got deep into meditation, and it was during that time God allowed me to see the things that he had brought me through, that I still need to rely on those same things to move forward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So part of it was being able to process the loss mm-hmm. and still complete a relationship with moving forward.
Absolutely.
Which is hard for, and I want to single out, because we have in a conversation with men, because men have losses after losses after losses, and it's always, will this never end? Right?
Absolutely.
And when will this end, and what do I do to deserve this? So how were you able to process that loss and keep moving towards something that honored your daughter?
Well, for me, during that time there, and I think this here, for me, I think it holds held valid for me. I think it definitely holds valid for other men who may be mm-hmm. listening to this here now, is that we have to get to a place by observing nature. Because, see, we can be dismissive about things around us at times, but when we observe nature, that's the physical representation of what we see physically to take place. But it's the things that happen even then that we can't see. Mm-hmm. We can feel the wind blow, but we don't see it.
Yeah.
We know gravity exists, we don't see it. And so it takes me right back to Ecclesiastes in the Bible. Was King Solomon said, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Uh-huh. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter scones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. And so just getting into that space, knowing it's a time for everything, and being able to focus on those things and knowing that God created us, he created me, he created you, he created other men and every woman to be a co-creator. We're able to take what we have mentally and we're able to plant that seed and it's able to grow. Mm-hmm. We're able to take our words, put it on books where it grow, where it can help ignite and give other people strength. And so that's what helped me to realize that in order for me to grow, be what I need to be, I had to learn how to enjoy the process. And that's how anyone is great in life. That's how anyone is going to be a world changer. And then I had to realize that chance favors the prepared mind.
Yeah.
You know, too often people think that it's about being smart. No. Keeping the mind prepared, being prepared for opportunity at all costs, that's what it takes. That's what it takes to move forward. And I realized, hold on, then the more I got around successful people, I realized every person who is successful isn't necessarily smarter than me. Mm-hmm. You know? And once I got that realization right there, I knew as long as I'm living a rich life mentally, I'm practicing humility, I'm constantly studying and being a student. Mm-hmm. I had to get to what my passion is and my purpose. Mm-hmm. And so we asked, what is purpose? One definition could be for like Miles Monroe once said, purpose is the original intent in the mind of the maker. So each and every one of us, no matter who we are, where we come from, whatever background, that we have the intent to be a maker. Mm-hmm. That we can take what drives us in its natural being and we're able to move and go to the next level. So the question I always ask myself, I ask other people is, how do I find my purpose? And how do we do it? We have to go to the original manufacturer, which is God. You know, so what did Jesus say? Ask and what? You shall receive.
Yep.
Seek and you shall find. Knock and a door will be open unto you. It's not thinking you shall find. It's not if you ponder. It goes back to the process in life. And I think we are in a mindset now in life where people have gotten to a place where they want things so quick. They want things so fast. They want things to happen fast in relationships. They want things to happen so fast when they're at work. They want their promotion. They want everything to be happening quick. Happy, happy, happy. And reality is we can't rush the process.
Yeah.
A butterfly is not going to just go from into the world as a caterpillar and then tomorrow he's a butterfly. No, it's a process that takes place. Yeah. Too often we don't make sure that process takes place in our real life.
I heard you say, you know, you got around successful people. And I'm just wondering, can you let our listeners know about your successful people and their ability to share openly the other challenges they were having and how that impacted growth in your life?
Well, the first thing I realized, I found out very quickly, God created us all the same. Mm-hmm. So what separated us, number one, the decisions that we make, mm-hmm. Two, how do we use our time? And three, did we use faith in doing what we were doing?
Wow. So can I pause you there? So you're saying to us that basically successful people are going through the same things we are all going through, but they're choosing to see a different route.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. They refuse to play the victim.
Yeah. And men, especially for men, I don't think people realize how in silence men play the victim.
Yes.
And in public, they play the victor. And it's not congruent, you know. So you put up that, you know, that wall that I'm successful, but that behind those closed doors is like I'm this little boy who's really back there crying, hoping somebody will come and pick me up because it's a hard and difficult situation that's going on.
Yes, it is.
So along with that journey with people being successful, what else do you think was your purpose? Once you found out what your purpose was going through all of these things, what was your purpose in helping people understand that they could talk about their challenges, that their mental health could be made better? We could do things to live more prosperously.
And that's when I got to the point, the one where I think that a lot of people, I'm going to say a lot of gurus don't use it. Mm-hmm. I don't hear enough motivational speakers using it. It's the one word that if a person just used every day, it would change their life. It's discipline.
Yay! And discipline is to teach.
Yes.
Yep.
And so that's what put me in a position to write my book, Rise and Burn, to help put people, no matter who they are, where they come from, no matter what they experience. Because for me, going through a heart attack, seizure, and kidney failure all at the same time, if you had asked me 10 years ago, would I have been an author, I would have said no. I had no intention of ever writing a book.
Yeah.
Period. But going through the process, I notice other people right now, there's people out there right now, there's someone, especially even some men right now, who need to read this book.
Yeah.
Who need to understand that God has a plan for their life. But until they get in a position where they're honest with themselves and they get a support team that's going to be supportive of them moving forward, they're going to stay in a position where they feel depleted mentally, where they're going to constantly feel less than a man.
So before we close up, I do this every show. Can you share at least three ways in which you practice gratitude? Because I think gratitude is such a powerful tool in managing your mental health with our listeners.
Number one, everybody needs to have a gratitude reflection moment every morning, every day.
Okay.
That's number one. Mm-hmm. Two, have to say yes to God. God's purpose in the will of life is of the most important. And three, we have to cut out all the negative things that may be distracting us from doing what we need to do.
Okay, awesome. And where can our listeners find you?
Listeners can find me at michaelmusenile.com. That's Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L. MuseMusenow.com. And you can also get me there. You can also catch me on Facebook, LinkedIn. Because in case you didn't know, I'm Mr. Broadcastpreneur, aka the Fearless Coach. So I'm helping people. I love to help people, and my purpose now is helping people to take their story, take their ideas, and help people reach millions of people. And I am so grateful that I'm in a position to help people take what they may have seen as something small, but put them in a position with God so they can see, do the great things that they were meant for and they were born for.
Absolutely. So thank you so much. And I want to say, speaking into being Dr. Michael Musa, thank you so much, Michael. Thank you guys for listening to the Rethinking Mental Health Show on Bashani Radio out of New York City. And remember to update your perspective in order to change your narrative.
Thank you. Thank you.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.